Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you.
She make my COVID worse, sir.
She gave you a variant on top of a variant. She gave you the prime variant.
It's the Optimus Prime variant. Hey. You ever dealt with somebody so stupid that they make you sick?
Oh yeah.
And you don't know where this confusion is coming from or whatever, and you just like, what did you just say to me? Like,
you're like, why did Galactus grant you with a mouth?
Yeah, like you just a bunch of uneducated mouth breathers, you know. You shouldn't talk
a bunch of bullshit that just doesn't mean a goddamn thing. Like the words don't even connect. They had no sense of logic. I just shut the fuck up.
I say a lot of stupid shit on this show because you know we shoot from the fly. I ain't got nothing written down or anything like that.
So it's off the cuff.
But when you in a work environment or anything like that, whatever, and you reading shit, if you got trouble reading, just give up in life. Like just give up. And I don't mean people that have like actual real like, you know, like dyslexia or actual reading problems or whatever and stuff like that. But like if you're capable of fully holding a book and you know how to string a sentence together, reading or whatever, but for some reason the words just don't register to your brain what you reading to the point you say, I must have never got this or whatever. You sure this got sent to me? People, this the COVID talking. This ain't nothing else talking about now. Do you understand the words coming from my mouth? Basically,
we able to like hold a spoon and feed yourself, but not be able to read. There's something seriously going on there. Like you can't have one without the other. You think we both should work in tandem at the least, right? You would think.
I've had stories told for me by crackheads, Cody, that hold up better conversations than some people. Okay, literally. Yeah. I went with a coworker one time to the McDonald's in Santa Monica. We walked over there, and I literally was talking and holding a full-on conversation with this crackhead that told me some cop stole his drugs and was giving it to some underage girls and shit like that. The motherfucker was coherent, clear, and everything else. And I was curious by this story. I said, I got to know more. I got to know more, baby.
It was clearly the drugs that cleared his head.
Hey, clearly so
maybe
it was.
That's the key. Yeah, right? Maybe we all just need to do drugs.
He was laughing and having a great old gang time and shit. I just looked at him and was just like, and my coworker was just like, why are you entertaining this? I said, this motherfucker's interesting right here. I mean, he more interesting than half of you. So shit.
Like you said, he was coherent.
Yeah.
He had a story. He had a narrative. Yeah. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah, better than some people I know. Sure.
Yeah, some people just fucking aimless. That guy wasn't.
That guy needs to take all the drugs he can, and if that's what helped him. Sure.
He said he stole the drugs and sold it to underage. You said underage women?
Yeah, he said the cops gave it to underage women. He was pointing at this one fat cop, too, where he's like, He said, I had a bag of cocaine on me and some a little bit of heroin or whatever. That guy right there took it to me. Why he took it from me or whatever? And he threw it in the trash can. And then underage women, he be giving it to him or stuff. Like, I was just like, God damn, dude, keep going. Shit. Like, you got a good story going here. Shit. Hollywood, damn.
I'm about to say, he should be at like some high level Hollywood studio right there. Pitching stories.
He might need to come on down to, you know, I don't want to throw no names out there or whatever, but he...
Exactly.
WB, yeah. Look, you know. Yeah. Oh, you know what?
WB.
Oh, you know what? Good old BET, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They love that story.
Yeah, I'm about to say, they love a good story. They love a good struggle story, so that would be perfect.
Man, BET would love that shit. They make a series out of that shit, too. They'll call it Family Affair. Oops, that's my friend's show.
Yeah, but that's on BET Plus.
Yeah, After Dark BET. Shit.
Yeah,
call it BET Uncut Part 2.
It's back.
Yeah, it's back. Yeah, it's
better than ever.
All I gotta do is get this dude a bar of soap and some coke. Shit, let him get on his rocker. Shit, I didn't think he smelled that bad. I had a mask on, so you know,
that's like a.
I thought the McDonald's smelled worse.
That sounds like a great album name. A bar of soap and some coke. I love that.
That's a track name off of Kendrick Lamar.
That kind of does, actually.
I think 3-6 Mafia won an Oscar for that song, Cody.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That's a prison track. Oh, that's like when you fresh get out of prison or whatever. That's that first track you drop.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
That's Drake's first track.
Love it.
He goes hard. Oh man. Oh, people, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I am your godfather, Whiskey. I'm JP.
I am the godfather, Craft Beer, Cody.
You might hear me sound a little congested because that's me. I finally attracted the Rona, Cody.
Yep, he got hit with that vid. Finally got his ass.
Yeah.
All these years.
You know, I've been clear for how many near years, Cody? Like 5 plus now? Something like that.
Yeah, well, it feels like 5. It's actually been 3, but it does feel like 5.
Feel longer, shit. Well, I'll tell you this. Soon as my ass started getting back on planes again and shit, that's where it got fucked up on me or whatever and stuff. So as soon as my black ass started getting on them damn planes again or whatever, man, here we are today. Fucking reeking. I love it, too, because... Blue Run CEO Mike, he was just like, yo, where were you at? I was just like, the Bay Area. He was just like, fucking Bay Area. How dare they get my man COVID? I said, that's loyalty right there that you can't buy, Cody. Like, that's my man right there. Whatever,
that's true.
Right?
That's true.
The dirty ass San Francisco. So, you know. Oh, man. But I was telling Cody before we started, man, I sweat so hard last night. I ran track, played baseball, MMA, jiu-jitsu, basketball. I ain't never sweat this hard in my life. Like, you would have thought that, like, if I was wet and you was about to fuck me, you'd be like, that motherfucker dry now. I can't get shit out of his ass. Like, you'd be like, damn, that motherfucker. Like, basically, my body was a pussy. Here's where I'm going with this. My body was a pussy, though.
I think you just went straight for it.
Yeah. I don't beat around the bush, whatever. My body was a straight up pussy, right? And like, I must have seen a photo before I went to bed or something like that. And I just got really turned on or something like that. So I just started leaking, just flowing, like just leaking. Like, is he leaking? He's soaking wet. He's leaking. He's soaking wet. Shake it like I saw. Shake it like I saw. That was me all night or whatever shit. And then I said, ooh, shirt got to come off. Thank God I work out, whatever, because sometimes, you know, that shirt comes off. It looks embarrassing. But for me, it looks great. I'm not going to lie. So I love the water glistening on my man boob or whatever. And I said, ooh, come get this dang-a-lang, somebody. Come get it, Cody. And he's nowhere near around, so he can't come get it. And I'm dripping wet more, Cody. Okay?
So somebody got it. that vid got that shit.
Yeah, it did get it. Yeah, it got all of it too. Like, I think all my exes need to take notes. Like, I ain't never been fucked the way this vid fucked me. So,
yeah, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I gotta say,
that's very impressive.
And today's one of my exes' birthday. Janae, happy birthday, by the way. But As wild as she was, she ain't never fucked me as hard as this vid did. This vid fucked me royally. She can't hear this because she in Dubai and they ain't got internet. So anyway,
they got internet. Like you now. Care anyway.
Yeah, I wouldn't give a fuck now.
Say, like you give a fuck.
She probably sent me a text. I hope that vid kills your ass tomorrow or whatever. Yeah. Shit. But I'd be like, shut up. You like it. Shit. I got the two of them shirts right there laying on the floor right there. Cause I don't know what the fuck. At this point, I might burn those fucking shirts now. Shit. Cause the fact that it hasn't dried up yet scares the shit out of me.
I'm about to say you got the permanent wetness going on.
Like that shirt
should not even from this earth anymore.
You know, I'm gonna be in this quarantine for about a week probably at the most. If I start talking more about this shirt on weeks coming up on this show, that tell you what I'm doing with that shirt. Then I'm doing something to that shirt that ain't got no business being done to whatever, Cody. So, but I'm just letting you know, whatever. If I start like praising the shirt more and more, that should tell you something of, oh, he's fucking that shirt now, ain't he? He's doing all kinds of.
Yeah, I was going to say that the shirt's already enchanted, but probably not just yet, but it probably will be enchanted with your, with something from you. I'm not going to say what that is, but all in due time, sure that'll be revealed.
Come. So anyway, this episode is dedicated to them shirts, right? Them two V-necks right there. I wear long pants leg, or at least I did this time because I wanted to sweat because I knew I had a fever. Them fucking pants legs were sticking to my legs and shit. I was just like, Jesus Christ, I've never sweat this hard before. So, so then after I changed the third time, I dried up. Like, I didn't got fucked and dried up, whatever. Just, like, pussy. I was worn out, Cody. I got worn out and dried up quickly. So yeah, that analogy works. I like that. I'm going to stick with that, too, whatever. So, so COVID for me was like a pussy. Started off wet, and it ended up dry.
That's a hell of an analogy right there. I love that. I don't think we will ever hear COVID described in such a... an eloquent, detailed, and really personal way.
No,
COVID is like a pussy or a vagina. That's real. That's you speak it from the heart, right there.
Yeah,
it's almost poetic in a way. Almost poetic.
If you would have put two fingers on me, you would have been swallowed.
Wow,
that might be the name of this show.
Man, that is fucking beautiful right now. I'm not gonna lie to you, man. It sucks that you have COVID, but. You're speaking some beautiful words right now, man.
Why don't you come over then?
It's like speaking to me right now, man. I'm feeling it. I'm really feeling it.
Why don't you come over then?
One step at a time.
I see you rubbing that chest over there, so you must be getting excited or something. So you just let me know when you're ready for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very excited.
Our Lakers just beat Golden State, by the way. So
good. We had to win that game.
Yeah, we needed to.
Oh, shit, we got to win every game pretty much, but yeah.
Yeah. That was a big win. So we won by 113-105. I watched that Mavericks and Suns game. That was a pretty damn good game.
I watched a little bit of that.
Suns won by three, I believe. Three or four. But Kyrie and KD were balling. I mean, are we shocked though? You know, so.
Yeah. Well, they're ballers. So, yeah. That's what they do.
Yeah. So people, this is going to be a short show because I'm dying. So.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta work on my will. Well, update it at least. It's just gonna say y'all Negroes ain't getting shit.
Burning all this shit.
Yeah. It's gonna be like some Black Panther shit with a Killmonger or whatever. It'd be like, I want it all. Shit. Burn it all. Shit. It'd be like, but sir, you have so much experience. I don't give a fuck what you just said. Burn it all. You know, they say in Def Cody that you can't take things with you. Well, the Egyptians said, Negro, that's bullshit. I'm taking all this shit with me. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I worked hard for this shit. They built these tombs, and they said, you better bury me with all my riches and treasures and shit like that. There's motherfuckers that don't even have riches and treasures. They just said, bury my chair with me. I don't give a fuck. I worked hard for that chair. I think that's why the Egyptian people always spoke to me, because they petty just like me, and I love that shit. And everybody always say, oh, what are you going to do with most of your projects? I said, I'm giving that shit with me. Shit, it's getting buried with me. So, yeah. I've heard of a Thug's Mansion or whatever, or Thug's Heaven or whatever shit. Oh, hey, I got lit whiskey heaven shit. I'm taking this shit with me. Got a little sarcophagus and everything.
Hey, as you should. I ain't mad at that at all. Yeah, yeah. If you can't have it, nobody can. That's the motto right there. You taking my shit.
I work hard.
I say, yeah.
Yeah. Taking that goddamn PlayStation to me. You know how hard it was to get that motherfucker?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shit.
The Xbox Series X?
Yeah, that people was fighting over that shit. Like, hell no, shit. Yeah, well, if you're going to kill me, Rona, yeah, I'm hugged up with them motherfuckers for life, shit. For life, homie, shit. Taking all that with me. So, it's March now. That means we about to start celebrating the 50 years of hip-hop. So, as I stated before, each month, me and Cody, on our whiskey slash beer week or whatever our weeks are, we will be giving a hip hop artist or group, whoever was an influencer. I mean, it can even be DJ or something like that, whenever, just hip hop influencers, realistically, to help celebrate and commemorate this 50 years of this wonderful genre that just went off a nosedive cliff and just fucking, I don't even know. I think it assaulted itself and then, like, you know, came back from the grave and then only to put itself back in that motherfucker and then to be assaulted by Vince McMahon over and over again or something like that, you know? And I feel like OJ hid the knife with them too as well. Like, OJ was somehow involved in this murder because he got away scot-free on this one or whatever. Like, it's terribly, to speak like Charles, it's terrible. It's a terrible harmonization terrible. Or whatever. Like, every time I put on a, not even a radio, but I just hear somebody at work or whatever playing some hip, I just go like, Jesus Christ. You know, this dude that tried to claim he was like a hip-hop head to me or whatever and stuff, asked me, what did I think of Donald Glover's This Is America? I just kind of looked at him and was like, I thought that song was shit.
Hey, yeah, I remember we were in the minority on that one. I remember that shit.
That song was horrible. That one.
I just do not like that song at all.
I don't even know. Maybe I need to read the lyrics or something like that, but that song is horrible. Like, and the funny thing is, I like Donald Glover now. I like Charles Gambino now. He actually found his, I think he's like The Weeknd to me. He found his rhythm that works for me.
Yeah, finally found his groove.
He does like these harmonizing mellow tempo now songs and stuff like that, or whatever. I like that. I like that style a lot. I listen to Childish Gambino on that type of stuff, like that Summertime. Man, I love that song. I play that shit out of that or whatever. This Is America song. I thought that was horrible, Cody. He tried to tell me. He tried to tell me what it do for the community and stuff like that. I said, what the fuck did it do for the community?
Yeah, I remember everybody was hyping that song out like he was saying shit that we didn't already know about. It's just like, yeah, we know. And he wasn't trying to be clever about it either. It, like, the imagery in the video was obvious as fuck. So I was like, okay.
I hear that song played in clubs. So I don't know. I'm sorry, but if your song is played in clubs, that kind of tells me that the song ain't really that real. Like, Cody, you ever been to a club and heard one mic being played?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, are you ever gonna hear Lupe Fiasco's "Intruder Alert" played in the club, Cody? Yeah, because I think that's what we want to hear about girl being raped in the club. So be like, oh wait, hold on, wait, hold on.
Yeah, dance to that shit. What the fuck?
Yeah, I heard This Is America before the Rona came. I heard that shit regularly in the club, Cody. I was just like, and then they sped the beat up too as well. I think people was more infatuated with the actual imagery than the actual song itself, because the song is shit. Like, I listen to it and just go like, man, that song is terrible. Like, and like the whole argument of, oh, I like what he did for the community. I was like, he didn't do shit. People was like, cops were still shooting motherfuckers. I mean, that didn't change anything or make no revolution or anything like that or whatever. So like, you can't even say that or whatever. Just because it was a song that you thought was different or whatever, but it didn't really do anything. I can't remember the last time a song actually brought awareness to something, honestly, in hip hop. I mean, we're probably going back to the 90s, Cody, right?
Ooh, shit. I mean, it's probably some, I can't think off the top of my head. It's probably some that were sporadically came out in the past like 20 years or so.
Yeah.
But yeah, most of that stuff were Well, hip hop really should drive from, you know, storytelling, talking about what's going on in the community and all that shit. Yeah, it wasn't the 90s, not necessarily. And obviously, I dwindled off with starting like the mid 2000s. That's when like that shit really dropped off a fucking cliff. So, yeah, I'll say 90s. That's when it like hit its plateau, if you will.
I think we could be wrong because Nelly's hot in here. It did send a message. It told people it's hot in here. You need to take your clothes off. And people lie.
I am getting so hot. I need to take my clothes off.
Yeah. I think Ludacris's move, bitch, hit me, to be honest. There's a bitch in his way, and she needs to move, clearly. I think that message hit hard, actually, Cody. Yeah. And look, I'm not even trying to shit on some of these hip-hop songs, whatever, because it's probably some of them I like that if Cody named some in the 2000s. I'd be like, oh, yeah, I like that. I listen to it or whatever and stuff. You know, I was a dancer back then. I listened to these songs. I was a huge Busta Rhymes, Missy Elliott fan listening to them and stuff. I thought Busta Rhymes videos were created. I just did not like Childish Gambino's This Is America. I thought that shit was terrible. I thought it was a bunch of noise just being made or whatever. But I'm not here to talk about Childish Gambino. I mean, I guess maybe we could do like our positive hip hop influencer or whatever, and then like our negative one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you this. He ain't a negative one, but that track was. That track's fucking sucked, dude. Like that track was horrible shit. I think me and Cody was in the minority on that one or whatever. I never really asked Yoon what he felt about that, but I'm almost always says dog shit.
Mm-hmm. That was that track came out. That's like when all the whole woke narrative started to become like a real thing. That's when that track came out. Remember, it came out the same year, the year before, or something like that. So that's when that kind of ideology started to really, really gain traction. That's why that blew up. Because everybody like, oh look, man, you see what he says? Look at the video and all that shit. And I'm like, okay, all right, I guess, sure.
Hate this world.
Sure.
I'm annoyed by it now at this point.
It started off with good intentions, but man, ever since these past like 5-6 years, man, oh my god, this shit got the fuck out of hand. That's another story of another day, but damn.
Yeah, it trailed off into something that I don't want to be part of. Like it's like
no, absolutely not.
I don't want to be attacking comedians on stage doing their profession. Now, if you got Kramer from Seinfeld up there mm-hmm. literally harassing the crowd member, calling him the N-word and stuff like that, that's a totally different thing. He's not cracking jokes. He's literally being a racist towards them. That's a whole different story. But if you got someone just on stage cracking jokes and you offended
right.
by it or whatever, then like that. I think that one bothers me the most is because Cody knows, I used to live right by the Laugh Factory. I'd go to the Laugh Factory regularly. I love comedy or whatever. Like, you know, making someone laugh, man. I mean, that was kind of the whole reason why when we first started these podcasts, whatever, the whole thing was like, I'd rather have people entertained than more informed, you know, because if people can get a good laugh out of something, then my job feels like it's done and stuff. So when I see comedians being attacked or whatever for whatever the fuck they might say or something like that, I'm just like, remember, they have no ill intent on anybody or whatever and stuff like that. They literally just cracking jokes on whatever is awareness into the society of what's going on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They probably don't even give a fuck, to be all honest, or whatever they're talking. They're just like, oh, that's a good topic I can crack a joke on too. I mean, we're starting to see it too. Like, you know, what's more insulting about it is like assaulting comedians now is like a positive now. Cause it's like, oh, well, he shouldn't have said that then. Like that guy that ran on stage to try to stab Dave Chappelle. Like, yo, what the
fuck? Oh, yeah.
They fucked him up, by the way. That dude was looking like, he was looking like a Tua from Miami Dolphins and shit. I mean, fucking hands was up like that. I thought he was throwing up gang signs when they wheeled him his ass out and shit. I mean, his leg was all twisted up and shit. Like, this dude.
God damn.
This dude ran up on stage with a knife. Over a trans, I think it was, I don't even remember what the joke was. It could have been a transgender joke, probably. Over transgender jokes. And it gets to the point, is like, what are y'all fighting for now? Like, so the woke shit just, you know, I was with it, and I still want to be with it, but now I'm kind of just annoyed by it, about mm-hmm. how the route that it's gone to, whatever and stuff. Like, it just bothers me or whatever to a point. Like, what is, they should be attacking the real agenda here instead of, whoever says something that has a high importance of celebrity, let's attack them. I think Chris Rock said it in his new special that just came out on Netflix yesterday. Selective oh, I forgot what the term he was or whatever. So, I mean, he pretty much used that whole special to talk about the wokeness and stuff like that. I'm kind of seriously tired of hearing about wokeness, to be honest. I'm like, who created that word and how do we get rid of it? I want it gone, Cody. Can you get rid of it for me while I'm in quarantine?
I wish we could. I wish we could. I wish we could kind of, not instead of go back to the way things were.
No, hell no.
I don't think they were perfect, but now it's, yeah, like I say, the culture-wise, especially this fucking social media shit. Goddamn, social media is a fucking devil, I tell you. if the shit don't involve like alcohol and stuff, I don't really fuck with it. Or sports, I say the fuck away from it.
Yeah.
It's just pointless to me. I can't stand that shit. But yeah, man, we can find some sort of middle ground. I don't even know if that's possible. I don't even know what the fuck that would even look like. That would be beautiful. That would be fucking beautiful. If people were just fucking rational, that'd be great. Because everybody just irrational nowadays. Whether it's you're on this side or that side, ain't no fucking rationality. They're all extremes. Nobody, and we got to stop being extreme with the shit.
Nobody wants to have a conversation. And when you try to have a conversation, it turns into an argument. So as Cody said, you find yourself kind of pointless having that conversation. It's just like, yeah, you know what? I have no dog in this fight. So why would I
care to fight
this? So, yeah. So I tend to, as you said, just avoid it as well too now. Which is fucked up because I believe in some of these rights that these people are fighting for or whatever and stuff, but I don't like the what
they're absolutely.
I don't think they're going after the right people. Like, how is this dude being all right, perfect example. And maybe not even a perfect example. John Jones, UFC fighter. This dude is a piece of shit. I hate this motherfucker. I don't watch his fucking pay-per-views. I don't watch UFC when he's on it. And shit. He just made his comeback. This motherfucker beat his wife, left her bloody in a hotel room to the point that her daughter had to go to the fucking hotel clerk and tell him that my daddy's beat. This motherfucker has been caught on drugs multiple times. He's had numerous arrest accounts and shit. Motherfuckers glorify him. I don't hear nobody in that woke shit going after his ass. Like, I don't understand that shit. And like, and if you say anything, they go like, oh, cry me a river, baby, or anything like that, whatever. And it's just like, this motherfucker's a scumbag. And you know, the first comment, I watched the press conference, Cody. You know what somebody said in the press conference? Knowing John Jones's history, too, with alcohol and drugs and stuff, mm-hmm. This dude asked him this question, Cody, and it just blew my fucking mind how the crowd just erupted in cheers. John Jones, after you win the heavyweight title that you've been chasing for so long now, can we expect the biggest after party of getting lit? How lit do you think we're going to get tonight or whatever after you win? I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Like, why in the blue fuck would you want this man anywhere near liquor? I don't get that at all. Like, I was just like, and the crowd cheered this shit, Cody. I was just like,
yeah. It's see things like that, man. It sucks because people are real selective about what they want to remember when it pertains to a certain like venture,
yeah,
or you know, status, if you will. People don't give a look at what fucking Dana White did.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Remember his fucking wife? That shit was on camera and shit.
You know,
he's fine.
I had a guy tell me, oh, but and the Dana White thing, I'll talk to him in a little bit. But I had a guy tell me, oh, because he's a John Jones fan or whatever. He just said, oh, well, when do you give people forgiveness or whatever? And I said, when they own up to their shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. He tried to bring up Mike Tyson. I said, wait a minute, hold on. First of all, Mike Tyson went to fucking jail. Not only did Michael Tyson went to jail, that motherfucker talks on his podcast regularly about how he was out of control and was a fucking kid back then or whatever. And he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. He owns up to his shit regularly. John Jones don't do that shit at all. Like, he's... if you even bring it up, he looks at you like you're the problem. He calls them haters. I was like, it's not hating. It's what you did. You're a piece of shit. So that's where it draws the line of forgiveness and fallacy to me. It's just like, when you own up to your shit, I can give you a second chance, whatever. I'm all about second chances, whatever. When you own up your shit and just be like, you know what I did, that was, I can't believe I did this, blah, 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 whatever. And the one thing I'll say about Dana White on that, too, as well, is I thought he was a piece of shit. Well, I already thought he was a piece of shit before that, to be honest, whatever. But I will say, at least with Dana White, he's owning up to it. You ask him a question about it, whatever, and shit, he literally will tell you, because someone asked him, too, what does this mean for your legacy, whatever? And he said, my legacy is my family. He said, what I did was embarrassing and disrespectful to my kids, whatever. And they should have never seen me in a video perform that way, whatever, and stuff. That's all John's got to say. You can call it media hucks or whatever and something like that. Of course, it's me. I don't know that motherfucker personally, whatever and shit. So, you know, But like, I never seen nobody go after this motherfucker. They call him the GOAT, Cody. The GOAT. The motherfucker was caught like 3 times on fucking steroid abuse and drugs and shit like that or whatever. He's a fucking cheater. He's a scumbag piece of shit, dude. So like, so fuck that dude. People cheering this motherfucker, talking about how lit are you going to get tonight. What? Every time he drinks in Vegas, it occurs to something where he's either hitting it. The last time he was arrested, he was fucking beating his head on the fucking cop car and shit.
Damn, I remember that. Shit.
A buddy of mine was trying to say, oh, well, they're fighters. You know, that's how they are. I was like, what? How many times you read about a fighter doing shit like the shit John Jones do? You might can name like fucking 5 off the top of your head. I'm almost certain you probably can name more or whatever shit, but it's like there's a shit ton of fighters and you don't hear no shit like this about all of them. I hate that fucking argument or whatever. Oh, they're fighters and shit. So yeah, John Jones, fuck that dude. Fuck that piece of shit. Makes it even worse because he's black too, so. But anyway. Stop talking about this woke shit, Cody. Although, I don't know. Some people might call this next artist I'm about to talk about woke. So.
Oh, I wonder who this could be.
So, Cody.
I wonder.
My hip-hop artist on my top 10 list of the year. The first one I got to throw out there is Nasir Jones bin Aludara. Nas himself. I love on Wikipedia. It even says he is considered one of the greatest rappers of all time. I said, even Wikipedia knows they've got to show that man respect. This man has been doing it.
Since I mean, yeah.
Yeah. This guy's been doing this business since 1989, Cody, when he first did
30 years. Over 30 years.
30 years. And we're celebrating 50 years of hip hop. Damn. He's been in it for 30 years, 30 plus years. Wow. That is, I remember when he was first doing in 1989, he was doing demos for Large Professor and shit. Before he came out with his, he was featured on a song live at the barbecue by Main Source first. And then out came that 10 track album, Cody, that just swept the world. It didn't sweep the world at that time because the West Coast was big at the time with the gangster rap scene and shit. And N.W.A. was big. And Nas' Illmatic album did really well. But I think if it would have came out at a time when the West Coast wasn't, the gangster rap wasn't like thriving like it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, Illmatic would have killed the scene. Which is so great because coming out at the year it came out, it is considered still, Cody, one of the greatest hip-hop people. I have yet to see anybody put an album of his over that album yet. They say it's his greatest album ever. It is a masterpiece. And some aspects or another. It gives you a little bit of everything in hip-hop you want, whatever, including a sample from Michael Jackson's Human Nature song or whatever. Who wouldn't want that or whatever? In 2020, during the pandemic, Cody, Illmatic was inducted into the Library of Congress National Recording Registry. This man is a Hall of Famer in the Rock and Roll. Well, he's not in there yet, but or maybe he is, actually. I actually don't know, but he's a Hall of Famer all around. He's one of the greatest MCs you could ever listen to. And Illmatic all the way to King's Disease 3. This dude is like my number one hip-hop artist of all time. And he's the forefront of this celebrating the 50 years of hip-hop, too, with his company, Mass Appeal, as far as promoting it and everything and stuff like that. And I think it's just a beautiful thing. I wouldn't have even known about it being 50 years of hip-hop if it wasn't for his company doing so much promotional material for it. So mm-hmm. I definitely want to... shout out that company for that too as well. And you know, he made some great albums afterwards too. It was written, I think some people do have that over Illmatic. I don't, but I will say that single, If I Rule the World with Lauryn Hill, Cody.
Oh man, come on, dude. That's one of the greatest tracks of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, top to bottom production, lyricism, great feature too, combining those two artists like that. Oh my god! And then they were at the height of their fucking game.
Yeah,
oh, shit. Nas pretty much still is, but Lauryn Hill, definitely, dude. She's coming out the Fuji type. I think I was a little bit before, like she did a little solo act too.
Yeah,
yeah. Such man, wow. If y'all, I imagine, I don't know how y'all never heard this track. Y'all haven't heard that track. Pause this shit right now and go listen to it, because goddamn.
Because I think
Damn.
You might be right on Lauren's single album. I think that came out in 97, maybe end of 96 or whatever. And that album was hot too, by the way, whatever. Lauryn Hill is the queen. I actually got to see these two in concert that 2016. I posted on Instagram, whatever, and shit at the Hollywood Bowl or whatever. Oh my God, Lauryn Hill and Nas. Like that's just a combination that just works. And damn it, if they want to make a 8-track album together or something like that, I'd be all for that or whatever. Like that should be Nas's next project. He got Lauryn Hill back on King Disease 2, and she just slaughtered that track. Like, it's just like, I'm questioning the queen of hip hop, baby, because in my eyes, she's always been the queen of hip hop. Her voice, her cadence, I mean, she's just so classy with it, Cody. Like, she just, man, when you hear her voice, it's like mellow, mesmerizing. It's mellow to you. It's like drinking that fine pint or that nice smooth whiskey, or whatever. And you're just hitting it, and there's some people you could like list or whatever that had just a perfect voice for hip hop, and she's in that top five of just perfect voice or whatever. Like, If I Ruled the World, as Cody said, as much as I think Illmatic is the better album, I think If I Ruled the World is a better single than anything off of Illmatic or whatever. I think that track alone.
Oh, man, you might have a point there, man, because that's one of my all-time favorite tracks, period. I love that fucking song. Such a great fucking song.
And there's some great songs on there, too. Honestly, that If I Ruled the World or whatever, man, that's what, honestly, for me, why I can put It Was Written in my top five Nas albums of all time, whatever, like that. I think it just like perfectly syncs well. I mean, If I Ruled the World, he came out with I Am, which I thought I Am was a decent album, whatever. Had a Lee on there, you know, You Won't See Me Tonight. I love that track, whatever. And then Nostradamus came out and it was very commercialized. There's some tracks on there I like. And there's some good tracks on there too, but like overall, I don't think the project really worked or whatever and stuff. I got to tell you though, like to have like a catalog as Nas and probably only have, let's just say like one or two bad albums. That's kind of a success story right there, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, I'm looking at the catalog now and I'm just like, yeah, this is a lot of albums or whatever, Cody. I mean, we're talking about 30 years of albums right here, Cody. And like, even the weaker albums, like you getting like I don't even think Streets Disciples a weak album or whatever. There's a ton of, it's two discs. I think it's just over bloated, not focused really. But there's a lot of good tracks on there and stuff. And he gives you a variety of things. But Nostradamus came out and then he came back with Stillmatic and shit. As he said in that Ether track, Cody, where's my crown at? Yeah, I don't think there was an argument no more, Cody, about who the king of New York was. That album is just fucking, it's got a little bit of everything on there. It's got your heart, I mean, with Ether, it's got your hardcore. It's got the single on there, Got Yourself a Gun. There's a track on there when he's rapping backwards. It's got one of the, I think it's up there with If I Ruled the World. It's got One Mic on there, like one of his most powerful it might be his most powerful single, one of his most powerful singles ever that he's ever made on there. He brought back AZ for this song called The Flyest. He's got a track with A. Marie on there. I mean, and then we get into, he's like, oh man, don't release no more albums. You can't. That was where it was getting with me, with Nas being a huge fan. Don't release no more albums, man. You can't top this. I don't think he topped it, but I thought Godson was a fucking great follow-up, though. I was like, and I never appreciated that album enough until the years passed by. And then I realized, man, there's a lot of good tracks on here. I love that last verse on I Can, where he's talking about like Egyptian history and stuff. Made You Look. I mean, that's like one of the baddest singles of all time. Like, dude, come on. Like, that ain't like If I Ruled the World or One Mic or anything like that, but like, as far as like a hip hop track or whatever, straight from New York, I mean, dude, that shit's
it's pretty much an anthem. That's what it is. Yeah. It's like New York anthem.
Yeah. We got Warrior song with Alicia Keys, Revolutionary Warfare, Thug's Mansion. I love Book of Rhymes. I had some Get Down. I love Get Down or whatever. That track really grew on me the more I heard it or whatever. I was like, yeah, I love this song. It might be one of my favorites off the album. And then obviously we went to Streets Disciple, which we talked about. And then you kind of thought it was like, oh, maybe it's over now. And then Hip Hop Is Dead came out, Cody, and you just like, fuck, man, this album is, that song, Carry On Tradition. That was my shit, dude. When he started talking about it, you can't quote a Big Daddy Kane line or whatever. Like, I was just like, yo, this dude's spitting to me now. Like, I. And then the reuniting of, or not the reuniting, but the track with him and Jay-Z, obviously, and stuff. And then I thought he really just topped his game when he came out with the Untitled album. That album is fucking brilliant. All right. That album is like, it's supposed to be called the N-word album. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's tracks on here. It like the Sly Fox, as he's talking about Fox News. It is fucking great. Speaking of Made You Look, that single Hero on here, man, that track is like, that's another anthem for New York and shit. Like, they're right there. Like, it's fucking good. You Can't Stop Us Now, Queens Get the Money. I love that track, America. That track, America, man, that just hits. Cody, I remember I was in college. I think it might have been my 2008, so second, remember my third year? I remember we had a discussion in class about the N-word album. I said, I love college. I said, in high school, we would never talk about shit like this or whatever. Like, I was like, we're actually, excuse me, having a discussion, Cody, about this album. And what does it mean to us that the fact that Nas would release something like this or whatever? The teacher literally asked us, do you think there's a controversy between this? We had a discussion. We spent a whole day in class. I remember the teacher left the classroom after class was over. I followed him. I said, can we do that tomorrow too? Like, I thought that was just brilliant. And he was a brother from, funny enough, he was a brother from New York too. He was from Harlem, I believe. And I thought that was like one of the most, that was one of my favorite times in all of school, like all of school, period, or whatever. Like, we're literally having a discussion. That's Cody, that was back when you can't have discussions. I don't know if that'd work out right now. That probably.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that game is totally changed. Yeah. Can't do it no more.
Yeah. Like people actually talk and then wait till you finish and then the next person want to go and stuff like that, Cody. Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's just fuck you. Well, fuck you too, then. That's about
it. Yeah. There was no outrage or anything like that. And I got to be on the defense of like why this. I remember telling the teacher, I said, had this been any other artist, I would have been right there with you that this album should not be called that. But I said, the GOAT himself, when he does it, you got no choice but to listen to the album first and then go like, I see why he did it. I see why. I thought this album was just brilliant. I thought it was just like retirement. Go ahead and retire. There's only one track. I don't really give a shit. I don't even think it fits on the album too. That's that, that's that song that the game wrote for him or whatever.
Make
the world go round. I'm like, yeah, don't ever put that on this album. I think Chris Brown's on there too. Who the fuck off too? Fucked up, motherfucker. Then he came out. Then he came back, Cody, with Life Is Good. I was like, I liked the album, but I was like, this better not be your swan song, homie. Like, hold on, you had like a perfect album there, and I was like, I love some tracks on here, whatever. There's a terrible song on here, though. I think it's called Summer on Smash, that Swiss Beats produced. It's fucking horrible. I was like, oh, that track alone right there is what made me not put this on my, when I did my Instagram live video with my buddy or whatever. That track alone is what kept me from putting that in my top five of Nas albums or even close to that top five. I was like, that song is horrible. I don't know why. I think it starts off even horrible. Let's play.
Oh yeah, no.
Nah, okay, yeah, no, that ain't.
That ain't it.
I could do without that. Like hell.
Yeah, can't win them all. Yeah.
But I remember that opening though. No introduction. Ooh, he killed it on that shit. Oh, he killed it on this one. I was like, oh, the yeah.
So I decided now I'm in charge. Even stay full of star corners, store like Mr. Spin Corner before Antonio's career. My dude's lost. Trying to cop corners and try to move that hard. Go with a shooter squad. How could I not become? How could I not forsake? 15, I got a gun. 16, I shot a train. Picked off a shot for fun. What's got inside my brain? A hustler's job ain't done. Till he becomes a king. God. Damn. Oh my God. Woo. Oh my God, this dude is spit bars or whatever. Oh, that was 2012, Cody. I thought it was over. I ain't heard a Nas album after that. I was just like, oh no, that man retired.
He didn't give us the retirement album we needed. Then he came back with, obviously he started doing his business moves. And then he did that album, well, like 7-track album that Kanye produced, which wasn't all that great realistically. I think there's probably like a total of 4 tracks on there I really like. Adam and Eve. I thought everything was hard. I was like, man, that's a fucking great single right there, whatever. Like everything is, I don't need Kanye singing in the background though. I don't need that. But I love
just stay to the left. Yeah. Keep your ass over there, Kanye, please.
That's the thing about Nas, man. When he makes friends with you, whatever, and shit, like he will throw them a bone because everybody wants to work for Nas.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, stop throwing people. Like, he just did one for 21 Savage. It's like, stop throwing people a bone. I know you're trying to be friendly with everybody, but no.
He's very giving. Nas is.
He really fucking is. Yeah.
Too fucking giving.
Yeah, and that was one of these. Don't be giving to him, please. Then KD1 came out. King's Disease. That album was hard, Cody. And I never thought I'd say this, but instead of Kanye, the motherfucker should have got Anderson .Paak to produce that album. Because that track on King's Disease 1, All Bad with Anderson .Paak, that's my jam right there. That right there. That Anderson .Paak, that boy, that's the next Pharrell Williams right there for me.
Pretty much.
That boy talented. Anderson .Paak was a busy motherfucker.
That boy good.
That was a busy motherfucker during the pandemic years. Cody was Anderson
.Paak. Yeah.
That motherfucker was like, I got
Slick Sonic and all that shit.
He was like, I got some catching up to do, apparently, or whatever. Like, he's like, I got to let y'all know. Like, that dude was producing albums in him, like Silk Sonic, like you said, touring with it too. I mean, he had the number one track with Silk Sonic for like God knows how many weeks, whatever. And when I saw him team up with Nas, I said, I got to play that track right away. I skipped all the other tracks. I went straight to that one. I was like, I got to hear that right away. And it did not disappoint. I was all for that. KD2 came out, Cody. I didn't want KD2 to come out. I said, don't come out. No. What are you doing? Gave me a great album. Don't do it. KD2 blew my fucking mind, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
I said, holy shit. That motherfucker had brunch on Sunday, Cody.
That it did. That motherfucker did.
That motherfucker. That is why I know I like this brother now. He's speaking my motherfucking language now.
Oh, I know you love your brunch, brother.
Oh,
no.
Cody
knows. Maybe he loves him some brunch. That's his favorite meal.
Cody could tell you this for years of knowing me. We've known each other since 2012, people, whatever. He will tell you, and anybody, whatever, that don't nobody like brunch more than JP. That is, I think it's the best meal to have a drink or to start the day off, whatever. And the thing is, too, you can mix it up with variety. You could either have eggs, you could have sausage, you could have fruit, you could have bagels. The world is your oyster. Oh, shit. Nas will say you can have crab cakes or whatever in this brunch. Yeah. Sunday. Your drinks, you can mix them up. You could get cocktails, you can get Bellini, you can get Dom P, champagne or whatever, martinis on it. It's just like, it's perfect. And no, it ain't even that expensive neither. It's the cheapest meal of the day.
Nope.
It is the cheapest meal of the day. Saint on 2nd and Long Beach 2nd Street. That used to be my spot for brunch on Sundays. So when I saw that, Cody, I just said, this motherfucker, like, it's almost like he in my brain now. But he opened up that album with some bangers too. I mean, Death Row East, EPMD2, Rare. I thought Rare was a fucking hot single. When I heard that, and the way that beat switches up 3 times, man, I can't get that song out of my fucking head. Like, I know it isn't. It's like one of my favorite singles of his. I don't think it's like his best single ever, but for some reason, and I thought it was a recency bias, but even with KD3 out now, whatever, I still go back to this track or whatever. I just play the shit out of it. I love how that beat switches up and Nas just like flows off of it. So it's amazing how it can switch up 3 times and he still can like flow off of it so perfectly.
It's okay to keep a mystique. I learned that in the street. For a long time.
I love that track. My favorite song off the track though is Moments. I love that track so much. I think it's I love Nas on Fire. I love Nobody with Lauryn Hill. She's just, people thought she was just gonna harmonize on that song. Now she started spitting
bullets. Oh yeah, it's a great song. That's a great track.
She's spitting bullets. I mean, I was like, damn. I forgot Lauryn could flow like that. I was like, damn, oh.
Mm-hmm. How soon you forget.
Magic came out, which was awesome. Kings is three, Disease 3 came out, which was even more awesome. This man's catalog is just, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just impressive as hell, whatever. So all those albums I named, Cody, I mean, you could probably point out one or two that you probably didn't like or whatever and stuff like that. But like, to have that catalog and to be so consistently good or whatever, it's just impressive and incredible. This dude is a legend in hip hop. One of the most respectable figures in hip hop. One of the most respectable figures in the food industry too now, whatever, because that sweet chick is fucking delicious.
Not just going off hip hop, just music in general, having one of the most impressive catalogs, period. Yeah. Transcending genres. Like, what, pick up specific artists from each and every genre. Who amounts up to what Nas has done? Probably not a lot. I can't think of anything right now off the top of my head. I can't think of anybody else. Oh. Probably is, but right now off the top of my head, I cannot think of anybody else.
I think when you speak of hip hop now, like, Nas has put himself as that godfather, one of the living legends that's alive as a as that whatever. I recommend people check out the interview he did like a week ago too on Stephen Colbert's show too, where he talks about the cure for King's disease and how he talks about people aren't about the music anymore and stuff, and that's where these albums are mainly about. And so it's actually a really good interview. I love the comment section too. There's a lot of people in there that says, I don't even listen to hip-hop, but it was like this man's cadence, the way he speaks or whatever, it has me hooked on every word. For those people that don't listen to hip-hop or never heard a Nas album, I recommend you listen to one of his albums, even if you don't like hip-hop. And just how you said in that interview you watched, you'll feel the same way in his music. Like, that man paints a photo. And Cody will know this better. He grew up in L.A. I grew up in Compton. We have no idea of New York growing up in the 90s or whatever. That man made you feel like you was in New York regularly. Like, you could see it in your eyes and mind or whatever and stuff. He was the Picasso of hip-hop. He knew how to paint a painting that was worth watching, mm-hmm. and listening to. And he will forever be my GOAT in the hip-hop thing. And I wanted to start in this, like, 50 years of hip-hop thing on this show, whatever. Nas is my first entry on my top 10 list here.
Yeah, you can't go much better than that. You really can't. So, shit. All praise to Nas, man. He is the GOAT. He is the bona fide GOAT. Like, yeah. I said this time and time again. We said this plenty of times in this fucking show. Mm-hmm. You can't really argue that at this point. You can't. Oh. You just can't. It's just facts. Not just go facts, factual. It's there. You can't argue it.
Yep.
If you think otherwise, something wrong with you. I think it's plain and simple. Sorry. But no opinions and all that bullshit, but they're like assholes. Everybody got one. Got all that. Not just fucking go. Point period. Don't want anything else. Sorry.
Yeah, if you don't think that, then your opinion in hip-hop don't matter. I don't want to hear shit about what you
got. Doesn't.
You got nothing important to say, so...
Nothing. You lose, sir.
You really don't. I don't need to hear shit from you. I don't want to hear shit from you. You can go fuck off. Is what you can do. That's the COVID talking people. That ain't really me.
And shut the door behind you, motherfucker. Man.
So I'm gonna call this episode "Lazy Man Cocktail" because it's cocktail month too. I literally just made this as we were talking right now about Niles.
I love it.
I don't know.
That's what you gonna call the cocktail. I just made this shit.
Like, I don't know if people heard me opening caps up and stuff like that. I was like,
yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, that literally was me making the shit right now, whatever stuff. So I just made a Manhattan, people. Like, right now, I got some vermouths and some bitters, and I got some 1792 Manhattan dudes right here. And
there you go.
And I got like a 1792 store pick.
Oh, oh, perfect. I have Kobe one. Yeah, there you go.
So I literally just made this shit right now, and I ain't got no spoon or nothing. I'm just using a finger.
Minimal assembly required.
And you know what I'm going to do, too, since I got the COVID or whatever? I'm going to put this cough drop in there, too.
Fuck it.
Yeah,
wow, this is a real, wow. This is a real thing on your feet. type cocktail right here. It's very spontaneous. I like this a lot.
I literally thought about
it. I really like this a lot.
I had something else in mind. That was before I caught the Rona. But as soon as I told you, hey, you'd be ready in 5 minutes, whatever, it just came up to me right away.
Yeah.
And it's a lemon flavored cocktail. So maybe it'll add a little bit of honey lemon to it. All right, so that might kill me, but who knows? So I was gonna put NyQuil in there and put me out, but you know, that'd probably fuck it up, really.
Yeah, probably throw the player profile off.
I thought it was
cough drop, yeah.
I'm just gonna put the cough drop in there, okay.
Yeah,
oh shit, yeah, you smell that lemon. Oh, God, look, good lord,
yeah, measure shit, nothing. It's like,
I really did. I really did do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That motherfucker's strong too. Jesus Christ, shit.
Yeah, like enough. Yeah, fuck it. There we go. That look good.
I'll tell you what, that shit cleared my nostrils up, whatever. I said, oh, fuck me, dude.
Right. I said, you better be cured like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
By the time this podcast is on, you'll be good to go.
Yeah, I just made this shit up. That's the name of this drink, whatever. I just made this shit. Yeah, so. Oh, I really did just make this shit. You can smell it too. Jesus Christ, that shit's strong than a motherfucker. I don't remember 1792 that strong. Yeah. All right, let's take a sip of this bad boy. Oh shit, that shit burned like a motherfucker. Oh shit, I think it just cleared my nostrils though. I'll keep sipping now. That shit is hot as hell, Cody. Oh my God. That shit is warm motherfucker, dude. Woo, man.
Oh yeah, buddy.
Yeah,
buddy, you could be cured.
That fucking
good.
That Hall's cough drop screaming, help. That motherfucker burnt. Like, I will say this. You do taste the lemon of that cough drop, by the way. Wow, that is. I don't even know what to say about that. Oh, shit. Wow. I got to tell you, I don't really drink Manhattans that much, so I don't know how I can really compare this or whatever. I don't really drink too many whiskey cocktails. I'm starting to get back into old-fashioned because I'm giving bartenders a second chance now or whatever to make good old-fashioned because they usually suck at making them. Mm-hmm. But so far, I've been having some decent ones, the good ones. So I tried a Manhattan today because I was just like, well, I was going to do an old-fashioned so I can stop bitching at bartenders and make better ones and I'll do it myself. But I was like, what perfect timing to make a Manhattan. And clearly because of COVID, I don't have I have the right ingredients, but I wanted a different glass and stuff like that. But this literally was like on the fly and just say, fuck it. And I got to say, if you're a proof person, this definitely works for you. Like, oh, that cough drop. Oh, that really kicked in now, Cody. Oh.
I look at your face.
That Halls just blew through my nose, whatever, when I took that sip.
Yeah, he just got hit by that goddamn hallway.
Yeah, that Halls cough drop. That motherfucker said, free me now, or whatever. Oh, my God. It's very buttery.
Menthol going all throughout your system.
Yeah, that's what it's got. It's got that menthol minty taste or whatever, and it's, it's very buttery, oily. I tell you this right now. You really wanted to get fucked up. This might be the drink for you. And funny enough,
it's not that bad. Shit.
It's not that bad either. I'm kind of shocked by that, to be honest. Cause I literally just said a little bit of this, and Cody said he heard it. I was opening cabinet. How about we just dump that in there too?
Yeah, I heard it. Like, oh, motherfucker, doing something. I know exactly what you're doing. There's something going on.
I was like, yeah, keep talking, Cody. Good man. Yeah. I was like, all right. Put that back here. Give me a little bit of them bitters right there. Here we go. Yeah. I think we're like cocktail professionals now.
I think so. I think we're kind of well versed in the art of cocktail making. Probably not experts per se, but I think we got a few notches on our belt.
This shit is spicy as fuck, too. By the way, but I will say this: it just cleared my throat out. So. Damn, I don't know if this is a positive or negative now. I might agree with this. They might get a last drop if it makes me feel better. Shit.
Yeah, shit. Fuck it. Why not? Clears that COVID. Hell yeah.
I might take a COVID test after this for now. Yeah. See if it comes up negative now. Because damn. Like I said, it's not bad. It's not something I would damn near drink every day. Don't need it, too. Because that's way too strong for me. Packs a little bit of the punch. I think it's too hot on the palate too, though. The finish, I don't have a problem with the heat and stuff like that. I'm used to that, but the palate is way too overbearing and hot. So it doesn't really give me too much time to engulf in the flavors and stuff like that. So I'm not really getting much flavor other than like the honey and the lemon, and there's like a little zestiness to it or whatever and stuff. But like, I think the heat is like overbearing too much, that like it's doing that thing when you have a high ABV. I can't tell if that's the other ingredients or the 1792 itself. Like, I don't remember 1792 being like this hot and shit. So, but yeah, it's fine or whatever, but like, I'm not into this kind of drinking these days, whatever. I like flavor and stuff like that. Yeah, I think on the palate, it's like where it's weakest. It's dry too, which is crazy because on the back end, it's kind of oily and buttery. But on the palate, it's just like too warm. If I had to give this a rating, I'd probably drop it in the 2.5 area or whatever. But
hey, that's not bad at all for some shit you just literally just made off the cuff for the lazy man cocktail. Not bad at all.
I just made this shit. Yeah, I think I'll go 2.5 because I'll go 2.5 because I think I know a lot of people that would love that finish, that burn sensation and stuff. And I will say it packs more flavor on the end, the finish, than it does on the palate. The palate is just too dry. It's not enough flavor characteristics and stuff like that. Everything I'm getting is in the finish and the back end. It's nothing special. I can't compare this to other Manhattans or whatever, but like I don't really drink that many Manhattans per se stuff. So I have no comparison as far as it goes to. I just remember, actually, I used shit like back in 2017, I used to drink Manhattans all the time. Actually, I used to go to the bread bar, Cody, at Century City Mall.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And give me like a grilled chicken sandwich or whatever, and a Manhattan. They put a little cherry in there. Yeah, that was my shit right there. They made good Manhattans there too. I bet that place ain't there no more though, huh?
Probably not. I have no idea. It's probably not though.
I don't think that place got, like, it was hidden in the cut too. I don't think people like knew that it was in there and shit. But decent food and good cocktails. So, but on this one, yeah, I go 2.5.
All right.
Cocktail is decent. I prefer a little bit more flavor. But then again, I'm looking at the stuff I made with it, whatever. I'm going like, this shit really ain't much flavor. You got vermouth, bitters. And I don't know what the fuck this is. Just, oh, crafted cocktails, crafted with, or, oh, okay. Well, this has all everything, and it has the vermouth and bitters in there too. So,
they oh, well, shit, okay.
Pre-made already. So damn, I think, oh, that's probably why it's so goddamn strong then. I doubled the alcohol.
There it is. I wonder what the proof is, total proof is on that motherfucker.
Yeah. I want to know. That makes perfect sense now. I didn't know this had the whiskey inside. Yeah, this is infused with, it's crafted with bourbon by 1792 with bourbon, whiskey, vermouth, and bitters. This has everything in it already.
Ah, shit. So you doubled up on this. Damn.
So, yeah, then I poured this in there. So, yeah, no wonder. Mm-hmm. I was about to say, there's no way 1792 is that goddamn strong.
Okay. So that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense then or whatever. All right. So, that's where that heat is coming from then. You basically just fucking quadrupled the liquor. I should have known when it said 35% alcohol in this damn little bottle. On the back end, though, it's good. Palate, eh. I'd like a start, middle, finish type of drink or whatever. And this one, I'm like, eh, I've had better cocktails on this show. My whiskey cocktails, I gotta start working on that more. I might do the old-fashioned mix and match week. Hopefully I'm not COVID-ridden by then or whatever, so I can actually not make something last fucking minute or whatever. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but 2.5.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all for some makeshift shit.
Might keep this in the glass and drink this over the night. To,
yeah, there you go.
Every time I start coughing, I'll just take a sip of that shit.
Perfect.
Yeah. So, people, we're going to get out of here now because my coughing's kicking in even more than it was. So, and I don't want to. I know people are probably like, put your fucking face away from the microphone, please. I'm trying. Okay. Should be thankful I did
a show. Give him a chance.
They'd be like, they should be thankful I did a show. Like, shit. I was on the verge of dying. But we don't miss shows here on The Last Drop, so.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that here.
No. We're very consistent on this show. And I'm
we are. Actually, we very much are.
Yeah, no matter what, neither. Like, I'm over here, like, on deathbed or whatever and stuff, and yet I'm still going to have this show ready for tomorrow. So, ain't like I'm doing shit else anyway, so. Sleeping, playing Harry Potter, and, damn, okay.
Yeah, pretty much it, right?
Yeah,
I guess drinking so. Still. Yeah, probably drinking some more whiskey. Yeah.
Well, Mr. Cody, let's bid these people a farewell as we, say adios.
Bid them adieu.
Bid them adieu. I want to thank everybody for listening to this. This is a great start off. We had Nas. We had a, I don't know what the fuck to call this. This double Manhattan, I guess, whatever.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, double Manhattan. That's a cool ass name. I actually like that name a lot.
Yeah. Double Manhattan then. So old double Manhattan right here. And take another little sip right now. That cough drop's evaporating like a motherfucker, by the way.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you can't even see it. That shit's clear now. Whatever. Like, you might see
it.
It's like a little bubble now, whatever and shit. So, I can't wait for next week. You hear Cody's hip-hop artist or groom.
I got a fun one. Well, shit, you know me. You probably know what I'm going to choose for my first one up. And cocktail, man. I'm trying to decide what I'm going to do for the cocktail. This is up in the air for me. What spirit I'm going to use, but it's going to be fun. It's always fun doing these cocktails. I'm going to do something different. Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. Can't wait to see what I cook up. Stay tuned, folks. Stay tuned.
Safe travels to you, by the way.
Oh, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Yeah. Hop on this cruise. We're going away for like 4 days. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fucking fun. I can't wait.
Yeah. You're going to strip?
Probably. Yeah. Get my Chippendales on. You know how that goes.
Good. Yeah. Because you got
a little side hustle. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen inflation, so yeah, it's motherfucker.
That shit, you telling me, brother?
Yeah,
all right, no.
Tax lady, I love you, but fuck you, seriously. No, I don't know how that fucking works out. I gotta pay you more every check just so you don't take more next week. Like, what? Who came up with that fucking idea? Like,
oh man,
I'm not trying to stay rich or anything like that, folks. But I make a really good amount of money here, and I the fact that I gotta do that, like that, you suck my dick, like. To fix that fucking pothole in front of my goddamn. I'm still talking about that goddamn pothole, by the way. Shit. Needs to be fucking fixed. I gotta give you that fucking money.
Ain't giving that shit to fuck that.
No,
fix
shit.
That bullshit.
Fix that motherfucker ASAP. Shit. I don't give a fuck, dude. I better see some goddamn grass on the sidewalk now, too. Shit. Making how much off my
fuck.
The fact that when you see how much yearly they take from me and shit like that, it's just like, okay, I know there's people that make more money than me. These motherfuckers are getting a lot of goddamn money. Where the fuck is that money going?
I'm telling you, it's getting evaporated. They either get evaporated or doing that Joker shit. Burn that shit.
Oh, it's
they can do it. Yeah.
Motherfuckers just sliding down the hill and shit. Yeah.
Like that. Shit. That's what they do. Turn shit to a playground.
They really did. Shit.
That a bitch.
I'm so sick of seeing that shit too in the 405 and 91. Your tax dollars hard. Suck my dick, dude. Your tax dollars. They got the audacity to put them signs been up there for fucking 10 years now. Like get out of here.
That's most they do with the tax dollars, put the damn signs up.
Yeah.
I love this shit.
If they collecting this much taxes from every citizen in California, now granted there's a middle class and higher class and lower class, whatever.
I'd be goddamned.
There should be no fucking reason why California should be in any kind of financial fucking trouble right now. And fucking cities should be thriving, whatever. Like, there should be... How about this? If whatever city you live in, that's where the tax money should fucking go to. Cody, you live in this city.
Simple.
That's where your tax money should go to. Why the fuck am I feeding the state?
I don't know why that process sounds so much more simplified to me. It makes way more sense. What the fuck do I know? I don't fucking know. I ain't in government. I guess we don't know shit. I don't fucking know.
That bitch pissed me off when she told me that shit. I wanted to tell her you fired so quickly, whatever. Like, you've been doing my taxes for a while.
You're fired.
Yeah, but she, like,
what if it's
I had to take a break outside. I had to tell her I gotta take a break outside. Shit.
I need a moment.
And I thought to myself, do I choke her out now or what? What do I do?
Goddamn. She
literally just told me I gotta give them more. So they won't take as much next year. That don't make no damn sense. That means basically whatever I'm giving them every month out of my checks or whatever and shit, That's what they eventually was going to take for the following year. So either way, I'm giving them the same amount of fucking money. That's some bullshit. I said, dude, I'm making the best money in my life, whatever, and they fucking me somehow. Like, I was like, that's some bullshit. Whatever. You know, I don't give a fuck now. Bitch. Fuck you, IRS. I see why motherfuckers live in the boonies and shit like that now, whatever. They don't want to be tracked and shit, whatever. Like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Kudos to Trump. That motherfucker said, I don't pay fucking taxes. Yeah, I see why. Sure. Wouldn't pay them shit neither if I had your money. Damn, it's one credit I get at motherfucker, that orange fuck. Man, taxes is a fucking ripoff. It'd be nice if they just said, what would you like your tax money to go to this year? Would you like to public education, public parks? I don't know.
Can we get multiple choice?
And I'd be like, oh, I want to go to that then right there. Cody, I've been looking at this goddamn pothole in front of my fucking house for 3 goddamn years now, okay? How much does it fucking take of my tax fucking dollars to get some fucking black grain or whatever the fuck that shit is or whatever and put it on the fucking
black paper, grain? Fix that shit,
okay? Just fix this shit. Every time I fucking come here, shit.
My man just wants some black grain. That's all he wants.
Fuck, shit. I don't give a fuck if it's gray, too. Just paint that motherfucker, too, shit. Some bullshit. Actually, it's getting me so angry. It's making my COVID go away.
Oh, shit.
God damn. Some fucking black pavement on that motherfucker. Shit. Black grain and black pavement and fix that shit up. A nice little fucking tree in front of it or something. I don't really give a shit, to be honest. Just fix that motherfucker. It's been there for 3 goddamn years now. I don't even know how it fucking got there. And stop putting them stupid ass signs in my
fucking... That's the last fucking thing they fixed.
You keep putting them fucking stupid ass signs in my fucking yard outside and shit too, whatever. The fucking, oh, street sweeper, bitch, I cut that sign down. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't say that out loud. Put that shit in my yard, don't ask for permission, bitch. Shit. Property taxes too, niggas, fuck you, shit. All right, that's my rant for taxes now. Oh, fuck. That shit pissed me off now. Oh, God. It's so mad. Anyway, people, that's the end of the show here. I want to thank everybody for tuning in or whatever. We're going to get out of here now because time's clicking now. I am your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
And glasses will never be dry.